I was mentioning about the portal and this AI thing, and it's really cool when you think about it. But there's a, in Philadelphia, they got a whatever you call it, a place that you can go and understand a little bit more about a portal. And it stands in the historical city hall in Philadelphia in the courtyard. And it's called a bridge to a united planet. Boy, do we need that, a bridge to a united planet. The portal is a 24/7 live stream providing instant interaction and direction, connections to cities and people around the world. It's just amazing how we are so connected anymore. The world is, well, the world is, just, you can see what's going on the other side of the world. You can watch it live and in person on television. That's just so crazy. But portals have been installed in places like Lithuania, Poland, Ireland, United Kingdom, Manila, Brazil, and they're all over the place, and there's more of them to come, because it's the newest way for people to connect with each other over thousands and thousands of miles. Portals basically are nothing more than gateways. They connect one place to another, reality and physically and spiritually. Well, they sound like something straight out of Star Trek. The scriptures talk about the thresholds between the physical and the spiritual realm. And it symbolizes access to God, or vice versa, salvation, relationship, and more importantly, a divine connection. Think about the story in the Bible in Genesis 28:17 about Jacob's ladder. The doors Jesus obviously transgresses as he appeared within a locked room after the resurrection in John chapter 20. The ancient doors talked about in Psalm 24. They found Noah's Ark, they think, but Noah's Ark had a door, and it was in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. The narrow door or the gate in Luke and Matthew, the gates of righteousness in Psalm 118, verse 19. Isaiah opened the gate, Isaiah 60, verse 11, and the gates of the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21. And the gatekeeper in the entryway as Jesus returns in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. All of these, as well as scripture for today that I read in John 10, as Jesus tells his disciples, I am the gateway. It teaches us an important theological lesson about what it means to be connected with God spiritually. His spirit and our spirit connects. We all enter through a portal. I don't think it's any mistake, and I love C.S. Lewis in one of his famous books, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, portrayed a children's story of entry into the world of Narnia through a kind of a portal. The gateway in John chapter 10 describes entry to a sheep pen. In ancient Israel, shepherds would build enclosures with wood, but they would leave a gate opening unclosed. Instead of a building or an actual wooden gate, the shepherd himself would serve as the gateway. It was a role of both protector and keeper of the sheep. The shepherd would position himself in the opening, guarding those in the pen from harm of predators, from simply wandering away sometimes and get lost, let kids wander away. We were all like sheep who had gone astray. So when morning came, he would lead the sheep out of the enclosure and into the pasture to feed and get a little drink, unless it was dried up like the pond. Jesus notes that every kind of individual who wanted to be a part of that group already belonged to the group that would enter in through the front door. Only a dishonest person would attempt to enter by another way. All of those who entered did so because they followed the call of his voice. It's intriguing, the description and the power of God's voice and a call and the invitation to connect through a gateway, Jesus. It's a unique way to describe the atonement, the salvation way that God wants us to be a part of. Once we willfully enter into God's kingdom, God will lead us into places of abundance and rest and peace, and more importantly, nourishment, spiritual nourishment. God's will, as the story of the prodigal reminds us, he's going to throw a party. The Bible says that even the angels rejoice in heaven when one person, one sinner, repents and comes to the kingdom. For the abundance that Jesus speaks about, this elaborate pastoral metaphor, is life. Jesus, who enters into God's kingdom, the sheep pen, all of us enter in, and God grants us abundant life. The missing part, though, of Jesus' description continues in John chapter 18, describing the difference between a true shepherd and hired hands. He said the hired hands don't own the sheep, so when trouble comes, they just run away and leave the sheep to be attacked by wolves. But, I love the buts and the ifs, Jesus makes it clear that he, as the good shepherd, the owner of the sheep, lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus became the perfect sacrificial lamb, so that they could be saved, and through his own rising up, they can be given life. It is because of the resurrection that we have hope, and we have the promise of eternal life. So spiritual renewal, restoration, rest, they all come from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and redemption. The portal, in Jesus' case, is his gateway, is a kind of a sacrificial entryway in which he does become the perfect sacrificial lamb. In Jesus, it seems to combine his shepherd metaphor with his sheep metaphor, for he is the shepherd and the sheep and the gateway. All around the city of Jerusalem and all the other ancient cities in the Middle East and probably all over the world, they built a wall, and it was fitted with a whole bunch of gateways or entryways to get into the city from the wall that was there. The Pola Bisetta was a great way. It was called the Sheep Gate. And that gate was in which a sacrificial lamb would be brought in for the Passover celebration. The sacrificial lamb, the one designated for the priest to eat, they used to get special privileges, all along with the others, to be sacrificed in the name of various households, would guarantee the purification of sin for the next year by the shedding of blood. There could not be no forgiveness of sin. Jesus became the perfect sacrificial lamb. There's power in the blood. Jesus describes his disciples and us today a series of metaphors that reveal him to be God's voice and calls us, the gateway or the portal that invites us into this love relationship with God. It's a new kind of life of abundance. The sacrificial lamb who sacrificed himself for us, the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. So despite the many metaphors, because you can mix metaphors, Jesus did it, when we follow him, he answers God's call, and we enter into a relationship with him, and we enter into a new kind of spiritual place. It's what Jesus calls the kingdom of God, in which we are protected, we are saved, we are celebrated, we are restored, and we are offered life in such an abundance that we can feel it right down to our bones. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Because once you come into this new place in our lives, our spirits have changed, we have changed, and Jesus explained to Nicodemus, hey, you've got to be reborn. From now on, we may face predators in life, but we know that our heart is protected and guarded from harm. We may see the same winding pathways that spread out before us, but, you know, I love the buts and the ifs, but Jesus, by our side, he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. When we come across times of spiritual famine and illness or doubt, remember old doubting Thomas? It's okay to doubt. But we feel that Jesus is nurturing us and lifting us up, and providing us with the spiritual energy and the sustenance to make it through. Keep on. We become overcomers. That's what the whole book of Revelation is about. It's about being overcome. Even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in David's words, we will not fear, for he is with us. His rod and his staff comfort us. He lays out meals before us. He restores our soul. In a tradition that goes back thousands and thousands of years, and you can find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11, the Jewish people would place a mezuzah. They're a little different. Some of them are just wrapped. Some of them is a picture of a Jewish rabbi holding a scroll, and inside that is got the words of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Put them on the doorpost. I got two of them, one in the house, one out in the office. Because we, on the coming in and the going out, we're constantly under the presence of Scripture. That's really what it's all for. But it tells us in Deuteronomy that you should write them down upon the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The mezuzah is a mikvah, which means a biblical obligation. Physically, it's just, as I mentioned, a small scroll of handwritten Scripture in a parchment that's rolled up and stuck into that and just put on the doorpost. It's also called the Shema. The Shema in Hebrew simply means hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. So you honor God first and foremost. It's a placement on each doorway that ensures when we walk in from one place to another, we carry the promise of God along with us. That's what Jesus did by sending the Holy Spirit. The Word of God walks with us and talks with us along life's merry way. So whether it's a gateway or a doorway or an entryway or a portal, every time we go from one place and pass to another, we enter in a different place. So keeping God first in our mind, make sure that the portals we enter remain within the vineyard of God. So it's an invitation of God's abundant kingdom that He asks us to be a part of. This is not something we do at a time of death, although it's important, but it's a promise we make with a covenant. But it's also a promise to follow God and to follow the call and the lead of Jesus Christ to feed us all the days of our life. There's a covenant prayer that Wesley had, and there's a lot of different covenants. Our founding fathers made a covenant with God whenever our country was founded. Well, covenants are so important. We make a covenant with one another when we marry. One man, one woman. We stand there and we make a covenant to love, to respect, and to take care of people. So covenants are very important. A covenant is nothing more than a legal contract in God's eyes. So when we do that, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.